Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On with Pastor Kevin Radlin and friends. Turn the Light On is a topical study of the Bible and how these topics apply to everyday life for each one of us. Join us today as we look at the Bible, life as a believer in Christ, and how to be relevant as the church reaching out to a modern world with the message of Jesus Christ. Now here's our host, Pastor Kevin Radlin from Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turn the Light On. You're here again, and we're here again, and we are talking about God stuff. I've got Martita Stanton with me today. Hey, Martita.
Good morning, everybody.
You know, we always try to have a co-host on the program, a friend, somebody who's got a little different perspective than I do, and you know what? We've got a lot of different perspectives between the two of us on today's topic.
Yes.
Here on the program. And, you know, we just were kind of hammering it out a little bit beforehand, Martita, and we both kind of came to the conclusion that we should talk a little bit about reconciliation.
That's an amazing topic.
It is an amazing topic, you know, because in today's fractured world, messed up climate that we're living in, there is so much bitterness, strife, anger, frustration, and the need for reconciliation in relationships has never been greater. I would say it's probably one of the most important topics that we could maybe even talk on because, you know.
Today? Yeah. Oh my gosh. And then you add to that race, sex.
Yeah.
Education, tradition, where
don't
they came from.
Don't throw politics in there.
You know, my gosh, forget the politics.
Let's leave that one out, okay?
But all these things is like, because I don't think like you, then we can't be friends or have a relationship.
Yeah.
Or because I go to a different church. You know, we had all that stuff and it's all division.
Yes.
But Christ came for one thing, to put us all together in unity, to reconcile us to the Father.
Yeah, I mean, we need to understand forgiveness.
Yes.
Healing. And, you know, how that works in between two people or even groups of families. I mean, look at how much division there is. You know, different groups, different nations even. You know, look at Israel. Poor little Israel. They're just sitting there and everybody just wants to stomp them out. And, you know, the need for reconciliation and an understanding of God's heart in reconciliation has never been, you know, more needed
and
than any time in history, I believe.
Sometimes it's learning how to agree to disagree in something and respect each other's feelings, opinions, or beliefs.
Yeah.
You know?
Sure.
Because you and me, let's go there for a second.
Okay.
Background. You were born in the United States.
Right.
You have two moms, which is awesome.
Right.
Okay. Your upbringing was totally different than mine. I come from Puerto Rico. I came here with the traditions of a Puerto Rican.
Right.
And old fashioned, was very strict. And so it was coming to a completely different world.
Sure.
And learning. But not giving up all my traditions or my Puerto Rican side.
Right, right.
You know?
How do I flex without losing myself?
Exactly. And respect the other one and learn from you.
Sure.
But not lose myself.
Exactly.
And still be able to have a relationship. Like you're my brother.
Yeah, we don't agree on everything.
Exactly. We see things differently.
Agree on most things. But there's a few probably out there. I don't know that we've discovered them yet because, you know, if we did, then obviously I wouldn't have you on the program anymore. No.
But we talk about it.
But you know what I mean? That's how people are. It's like, well, we obviously all agree on everything because we're here together. No, we don't.
No, we don't. Yes.
You know, so, I mean, so how do we actually reconcile? You know, looking to the Bible, it can provide insight for us on how God, you know, takes diverse communities and he turns them into groups of people that can actually
live together,
do life together, yes, right?
And learn from each other. The Bible has wild stories.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start by talking about Jacob and his son Joseph.
Okay.
Because that story, it really resonates with my heart.
Sure. There's some reconciliation going on in this family.
Oh, my gosh. And it shows me how if they can reconcile
right
after what he went through. So let's start in the beginning.
So what happened to him?
Jacob had four wives. Two wives and two concubines.
Man, that's a job in itself, man. How much reconciliation do you need with four wives?
And the strife and the competition between them.
Right.
And then you have the children. And back then, the oldest is supposed to be the favorite.
Sure.
And the one in charge and the one that everybody looks to. But yet Jacob's heart was on Joseph.
Yeah.
Which caused...
Because he was the firstborn child of the one wife that he really wanted, and then he
the one that he really loved.
Three. Right. So his first love.
Yes. And so he was special to him.
Right.
And he had him. He was a little older. So he had him. And that caused strife and jealousy between the others.
Right.
And then he had the last one, Benjamin.
Right.
So, but still...
Then there was the coat of many colors.
Yes.
Can't leave that out, you know?
Yes. So
he was favored. His dad gave him this special jacket, and then that just kind of threw everybody else into a tailspin.
He spent more time with him than he did with the others. The others one had to work hard, and this one he treated differently.
Sure.
So there comes the strife.
So he had favor.
He definitely
created strife.
Yes.
And a need for reconciliation.
Definitely.
So what did the brothers do?
So,
like, oh, we love this kid.
The hatred, and that shows us, if we allowed bitterness and hatred to grow in us, we will do things that normally we would never think of doing.
Yeah.
But they did this for years. Their hatred, their jealousy was growing so much that they needed to get rid of him.
Yeah.
And they wanted to kill him.
Right.
But
so
one
they threw
of
him in a pit.
Yes. One of the brothers said, no, let's not kill him. Let's throw him in the pit.
Yeah.
And he actually was planning to come back and pull him out.
Right.
But the other ones, before he had time, sold him to Egypt.
Right. Sold him into slavery.
Exactly. And then...
And that's where his journey began.
Yes. And it wasn't a fun one.
Yeah. He ended up in Potiphar's house, right?
Yes.
And then...
In jail.
That went sour on him. You know, Potiphar's wife came after him and tried to seduce him. And then do anything, you know, he's living a righteous life, you know, because sometimes... You can live a righteous life, and life will hand you, you know, situations where reconciliation is going to be needed. So
and you might be blamed for something you did not do.
Right.
And you have to live with that, but you know what? God is always there to show the truth.
Sure. So overall, he ends up in Egypt. He becomes...
The second on hand.
He interprets Pharaoh's dream, and then he ends up second in all of Egypt, and then now... The story swings back around, and his brothers are coming to get grain. They're coming to get food from Egypt, and Joseph recognizes his brothers. He's second in command over all of Egypt, Martita. He could have had them killed right then.
On the
spot.
He
could have just said, kill them, and they would have been annihilated by
no
the
questions
armies of Egypt
asked.
And just thrown under wherever, you know,
and the brothers,
never seen again.
The brothers did not recognize him.
No.
Because he looked totally different.
Well,
he spoke
Egyptian.
Differently. Exactly.
Yeah.
He had an Egyptian name. He's in possession of everything. They haven't thought about this brother because he's gone. What did Joseph do?
Well, let's read it. It's actually right here in Genesis 45. It's really this whole little chapter. So, you know, Joseph knows it's his brothers. They're all there. He's been hiding it from them. He sends them back to get Benjamin, and then their dad's freaking out. You know, that he's you know, bringing his last remaining son from his favorite wife to this. But, you know, and then it gets to the point where Joseph, it says this, Joseph could stand it no longer. There were many people in the room, and he said to his attendants, out, all of you. So he was alone with his brothers when he told them who he was. And he broke down and he wept. And he wept so loudly the Egyptians could hear him. And word of it quickly carried to Pharaoh's palace. He said, I am Joseph, he said to his brothers. Is my father still alive? But his brothers were speechless. They were stunned to realize that Joseph was standing there in front of them. Please come closer, he said to them. So they came closer and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery in Egypt. But don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives. This famine that has ravaged the land for 2 years will last 5 more years, and there will be neither plowing or harvesting. God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors. So it was God who sent me here, not you. And he is the one who made me the advisor to Pharaoh and the manager of this entire palace in the government of Egypt. I mean, that's amazing. So here he is. He had the opportunity for vengeance.
Yes, he did.
And he didn't take it. He revealed himself and he said, God, you know, is the one who worked this situation for good. You know, the scripture tells us that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purposes. And some of you have been done wrong by people in your life.
One thing I see in here is that he, even though he went through all the things that he went through, he didn't let hatred and bitterness overtake him.
Right.
And at the end, love won.
Sure.
The love for his brothers and his family overcame everything, and his relationship with the Lord, him knowing this all happened for a purpose and it's come to light, and therefore I am able to forgive because my eyes were on God and on his purpose.
You know, earlier we said reconciliation means restoring broken relationships, right? To a former state of harmony or better when we were talking about this.
Yes.
You know, you and I. And, you know, it often involves making amends with those who have been what? Hurt. Those who have been wronged, you know, in some way or another. And it may be that they've been hurt or wronged by you or maybe other people, and God's using you to help bring restoration. And when you look at this story with Joseph and his brothers, you know, it requires honest dialogue. Hey, yes. God did this. You didn't do this. And they had to probably own some stuff. And then Joseph forgave them. And there's self-sacrifice in all that. Joseph could have cried for vengeance. He could have taken out wrath. He could have done so many different things. But, you know, he wanted to pursue peace. And he wanted to, you know, pursue restoration. So some of you, man, you've got to realize that your pride and your bitterness of your heart and the things that are going on in your life are not of God. They're not the heart of God. God is a God of love and reconciliation and restoration. And it's time. You've been bitter long enough.
And we understand. I mean,
oh, I get it.
You know, we've been hurt. But
we all have.
Let's reach out to the Lord and ask for healing. First, we need to forgive the people. And in this case, as you said, reconciliation means restoring broken relationships to a former state of harmony. But this is definitely a better, because they were not in harmony before. There was a lot of strife, jealousy between them and competition. And now there's not.
Yeah.
Now it's totally, completely different. And that's the goal.
Sure.
It's not just to reconcile, but to actually have a reconciliation that the way the Lord will have it, to be better, to be an honest reconciliation. It's not, okay, I made up, but I still can't be myself.
Right.
Reconciliation is, we need to be able to be ourselves and be accepted for who we are, who the Lord created.
Yes.
We're all different. Thank God we're all different, because this would be a very boring world if everybody was the same.
Yeah, I think many times when we pursue reconciliation with a person, we expect them to humble themselves and come under our version of what that reconciliation should look like, rather than just unconditionally forgiving them and loving them in the Lord. You know, I don't think you can forgive somebody in your own personal strength, Martita.
I don't think so either.
We have to take it to the Lord, who is a God of love. He is love, and without love, I don't think reconciliation's possible. I think we need to bring our situations to God, and we need to go, God, only you can give me the strength, the wisdom, the ability to release this from my heart. You know, the Bible says, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. His yoke is easy, his burden is light. You got to cast that over, and you got to say, God, take this. And then, you know, that scripture in Hebrews says, how much more will the blood of Jesus purge your conscience from dead works?
And he came
so that you can serve the living God.
The brokenhearted.
You know? Yeah.
He understands when you're broken. He went through it. He lived in this world. He knows pain. He knows rejection. and he can carry you through. So go to him and say, Lord, I need you to heal my heart and help me forgive this person. I choose to forgive him. Help me walk it through.
Yeah.
Because I can't do it on my own.
I mean, think about the story of Jesus, okay? And he looked at Peter. He said, you're going to deny me three times, and then the rooster's going to crow. Then Peter did. He denied him. And then he heard the rooster crow, and it says Peter wept bitterly, you know, and I can only imagine how disappointed in himself he felt. And Jesus, he already knew, but I could still imagine how it hurt in his heart to know that, you know, Peter had denied him, even though he said he never would.
And when he needed him the most, because he was totally alone and broken. But you know what? If you're the one that have done the wrong, please forgive yourself. Repent for what you did. Forgive yourself. Don't hold a grudge against yourself. Reconcile with yourself. Okay?
It's not,
you know, because how can I go to you when I feel awful about myself? And it's like, you can never forgive me. And then we end up punishing ourselves.
Don't we?
You know, and there's no penance here.
Right.
You need to repent and give it to the Lord.
Yeah.
He's the one that forgives. He is the one with the authority. We need to humble ourselves before him, because when I'm holding something against myself, I'm holding myself higher than Jesus.
Sure.
And that's sin right there, because I need to take my place and humble myself.
You know, both of these stories, Martita, demonstrate the power of love and forgiveness over resentment, over revenge, over disappointment, and all of that, you know. And in the world that we're living in, where division is just crazy right now, it's just running everywhere, it's so important that, you know, we practice true reconciliation. That's only going to happen through the Lord. You know, if we just tolerate each other and we just look at everybody's differences without really trying to understand one another on a deeper level, I don't think we're going to be able to walk this out. But, you know, without this process of true reconciliation, I don't think we're ever going to see unity in the church. We're never going to see unity in the family. We're never going to see unity in marriages until we can do that, because God is reconciling all things together through Christ. And we've got to get to a place where, you know, we are leaning into Jesus for the answers. You know, if you're calling yourself a Christian, then, you know, you are calling upon God in your life as a believer to, you know, help you to live at peace with everyone. And that's not easy.
No.
No. Some people are crazy. They're crazy. But you know what? It is possible through God, because the scriptures tell us that all things are possible to him who believes. And I believe that, you know, we can see this. Look at Romans 12:18. Won't you read that real quick?
If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all.
You know, we've got to work towards trying to live at peace with everyone. And it's difficult. Some people are hard to live at peace with, while others are easier. You know, we've got to begin to make that the goal. It says, if possible. Now, you know what? Sometimes it may not be possible.
True. And the Lord says, love your neighbor as yourself.
Yeah.
Well, it's easy to love people that are lovable, but we are to love the ones that are not lovable. And the only way to do it is through the love of Christ.
Yeah.
My prayer, and this is how I do it, I hope it helps somebody, but I go, Lord, help me see that person through your eyes.
Yeah.
And fill me with your love for that person, because I don't have it in me. As a human being, I don't have it in me. But a lot of times when he shows me people through his eyes, I see somebody completely different. And then I can call them to be in that, like, if you're in the prophetic, you can see who the Lord really sees, and you go, you know, it could be a person that is cursing all the time. And then I can look at that person, and I said, I see your pure heart. That's who you really are. And call that in, and call it forth, and help that person go, wow, I never thought about myself that way. You know?
Yeah, for
sure. And a lot of times reconciliation starts to happen because they start to get healed, because broken people or hurt people hurt people.
That's a fact.
So when we help people be healed from their brokenness, it's easier for them to then walk into who the Lord created them to
right.
be.
Right. That is so good. You know, in Matthew 18, 15 through 17, it says, if your brother or sister sins, go and point out their fault just between the two of you.
Yes.
Okay? You know, I think, and if they listen to you, you have won them over. But if they will not, then take someone else along. You know, I think the one of the biggest problems that we have is people aren't willing to sit down and just have a discussion about an issue. You know, if you have a problem with somebody, sit down and have some dialogue, have some communication. If nobody knows how you feel and you're just burying that inside, it's going to fester, it's going to grow, it's going to become out of control eventually, you know, and it's going to show up.
And go with a heart that you really want to hear the other person. Don't go to prove your point
right.
or to defend yourself.
Right.
But actually say, Lord, help me hear them out.
Right. Because true reconciliation just seeks to understand their heart and where they're really coming from. And you may have to agree to disagree on some things.
And that's okay.
But if you can keep peace, you know, it says, if possible, live at peace with everyone. You know, and I don't have the same, you know, overall theological beliefs as every other pastor in the world.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
You know, and there's just so much diversity.
Mm-hmm.
But I would never try to go into another pastor's church and just preach what I think, you know, and overstep their authority and try to do things the way they wouldn't have things done. You know, I would respect that and try to be at peace, you know, and want to get invited back, not feel, you know, totally pushed away. You know what I'm saying?
And cause strife.
So, you know, there is compromise that can happen in every area of your life, you know,
yes.
in your marriage relationships, in your children relationships, your boss, people at work. You're not going to agree with everybody. And the only way that you're going to be able to keep the peace is to learn a habit of reconciliation and communication. So we hope you guys are like enjoying this because, you know, sometimes topics are a little tough, but you know what? We need this.
Yes, we do.
We need this in our life, Martita. We need to know that we are doing our best to be the best people that we can be for the Lord and for our representation of the kingdom of God. And, you know, we are not just blasting people and just punching people in the face with our own agendas and opinions. You know what I mean? So, hey, guys, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to come back and talk about one of the greatest reconciliations that ever happened.
Hey, have a fence project you'd like to get done? Mike Green with Hercules Fence is available for you at 321-258-9853. Hercules Fence has been in business for 60 plus years. They've been serving Brevard since 1965. There's no job too big or too small. This is Brevard's leading fencing provider. Once again, that's Mike Green with Hercules Fence. 321-258-9853.
Paradise Air and Heat is an amazing sponsor of Turn the Light On. If you have a need for AC repair, you can reach Paul and the Paradise team at 321-459-2665. That's right, 321-459-2665. Located in Merritt Island and serving Brevard, Paradise can do everything from filter replacement to maintenance and even new systems. Thanks again, Paradise Air and Heat, for helping us turn the light on. In the secret, in the quiet hour, I wait only for you. Lighthouse Generational Ministries wants to remind you that we have so many things to do here at the church. Every Tuesday night at 6:30, we have our young adult ministry, Vessel. Vessel is for ages 18 to 29 years old, and they meet in the round building on our campus and have a great time in worship and learning. Every Wednesday night at 6 p.m., we have Lifeline Youth. 7th to 12th graders gather for dinner in the Fellowship Hall, and then they hang out till 8:30 playing games, learning, and just being teens. Encourage your kids to put down that game controller and come have some real fun. Every Thursday, we have men's and ladies' Bible study here at Lighthouse. A relevant teaching of the Bible is always on hand, so come out and join us as we grow together as a church family. There's something for the entire family at Lighthouse, so plug in today. For more details, call the church office at 321-452-1012 or check online at ourlighthouse.net. All right, Martita, we are back with everybody here on the program, and we've been talking about reconciliation, everybody's favorite topic, you know, getting relationships fixed.
And Kevin, you know what? As we're going to read in the Bible what it says about the best reconciliation ever, what I like about this is he didn't wait for us to ask for it. He took the first step.
Yeah.
He voluntarily wanted to do this to reconcile us. Mm-hmm. And he's the best example for us to say, I want to reconcile. Don't wait for the other one to say, yeah, I'm sorry.
Right.
But let me step into this and let's work it out.
So what you're really saying is Jesus was willing to be wrong even though he was right so that we could be made right.
Amen.
And that's what we need to look at as the heart of reconciliation. Why don't you read that scripture in 2 Corinthians real quick? And let's really look at this ministry of reconciliation that Jesus is giving each and every one of us.
All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors of Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God.
So if you're going to have reconciliation in your relationships in your life, the first reconciliation you're going to need is you're going to need to be reconciled to God.
Amen.
Because without love, which God is love, you will not be able to make other situations, you know, reconcile.
On our own, it's too hard.
You can't. You can't forgive without him. So I'm encouraging each and every one of you today to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. Give your life to Jesus. If you've given your life to Jesus, then allow Jesus to show you the path of reconciliation for the relationships that are broken around you. And he may tell you to take the first step and
That's
be
right.
willing to take that first step and say, God, I need you to help me reconcile in this area, marriage, myself.
You know, it might start with yourself. You need to forgive yourself. You need to reconcile with the love of Christ and
Absolutely.
Receive his forgiveness and his love. Forgive yourself and then let the Holy Spirit just fill you up with his love and let it flow into others.
That's so good.
And it will make it so much easier.
Yeah. So what we're saying is God is the first step.
Amen.
Reconcile with
Always.
God. Always. You're the second step.
Yes.
Make peace with yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let yourself off the hook, be forgiven, and then you will be ready to reach out and reconcile with others around you. Guys, we hope you enjoyed the program. Crazy topic. They're always good.
Have
hope
a great
have
day.
Have a blessed day.
Bye.
Turn the Light On is a program brought to you by Lighthouse Christian Church in Merritt Island, Florida. Our service times are Sundays at 8:30 and 10:30 a.m. We are located at 1250 North Banana River Drive, across the street from Audubon Elementary School. You can reach our office at 321-452-1012 or find us online at ourlighthouse.net.
Thanks for joining us every weekday morning at 7:30 a.m. or by social media any time of the day or night. We're excited to see God moving in Brevard County and hope to meet you in one of our services or events. Until the next time, thanks for being with us as we turn the light on in our community.